Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is the ESPN nationally broadcasted morning drive show. Okay? Big time. So when we do our mock draft, day one, we had Mel Kiper Jr. with us. Day two, Jordan Reed, ESPN NFL draft analyst, joins us. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, guys. Pleasure being here.
Great to have you. We're going big. It continues. The first four picks were yesterday, and now we get to pick five. Here's the pick, the most important pick so far. My New York Giants are on the clock, and we have Chris Canty with the pick.
And with the fifth pick in the KJM mock draft, the New York Football Giants select Trayvon Walker, defensive end, Georgia. New Giants general manager Joe Shane will be tempted to trade down from the fifth overall pick. But if Walker's on the board, he's going to run, not walk, to turn in the card because of the dominant traits that he's shown from an athleticism standpoint, as well as the versatility that he's shown on the tape at Georgia.
Trayvon Walker, defensive line, Georgia.
Now, Trayvon Walker is enormously talented. He's gifted. You know, think about 6'5", 270, 275, running 4'5", long arms. Coach it up, put him in the right position, and now maximize all that talent and ability at the pro level against the best in the world. That's why, to me, he's one of the more intriguing prospects in this draft.
Jordan Reed, what do you think?
Really, really interesting selection, but it makes a lot of sense. Trayvon Walker is 6'5", 272 pounds, has all the physical traits that you want at the position, running 4.59 and a 40-yard dash, jumping through the roof at the combine. And with general manager Joe Shane now at the helm with the New York Football Giants, it makes a lot of sense just because when he was in Buffalo, they weren't scared to take projects at the position. And yes, I know it was the back end of the first round with players like Gregory Rousseau from a year ago. But Trayvon Walker has those overflowing traits that you love to see at the position. It's just a matter of getting all that potential out of him to help reach his ceiling.
I think when you look at Trayvon Walker, he certainly has a high ceiling for a defensive end. You hear the guys talk about his frame, 6'5", 275 pounds, sub 4'5", as fast as a wide receiver with a 37-inch vertical and hand size, 11 inches. Get about that, Max. 11 inches on a hand size. Think about the slap to the face of an offensive tackle trying to get this guy. Yes, at Georgia, he played in and out of the lineup, up and down at times, but this is certainly a must-get for your New York Giants.
All right, I'm with it. As long as it's not Thibodeau, Key talked me out of Thibodeau. Okay, time for the sixth pick. The Carolina Panthers are now on the clock. All right, so the Panthers on the clock. Here's Josh in South Carolina with a pick for the Panthers.
With the sixth pick in the KJM mock draft, Carolina Panthers select Charles Cross, left tackle. I believe they do this because they ultimately end up trading for Baker Mayfield.
Charles Cross, offensive tackle, Mississippi State.
Very good left tackle, excellent in pass protection, that Mike Leach system. It would be great to bring in Cross here. It's a little rich for my blood, but it's an offensive tackle position that you really need.
Charles Cross makes the most sense here, I think, for the Carolina Panthers. Would certainly help Sam Darnold, that blindside protector, which he's tremendously experienced at, and that pass-happy Mississippi State offense. So Charles Cross would be hard to overlook here.
Jordan Reed, your analysis.
I'm surprised they went Cross here over some other players that were already on the board in the Kim Aquanu and then also Evan Neal, but it makes sense as far as them going offensive tackle. Now they have to prioritize getting a veteran quarterback in there just because they can't go back out there with Cam Newton, Sam Darnold, or P.J. Walker for another season just because Matt Rhule has to win next year. So you get the best pass protector in the NFL draft this year in Charles Cross.
When you look at Charles Cross, yes, he is long arms, very good on the perimeter, protecting the blind side of the quarterback in that Mississippi State passing game. You don't have to worry about it as much what the Carolina Panthers want to do. Certainly has quick feet, very smooth and fluid at the point of attack. I like this selection at the offensive tackle spot. Don't know if he's the right guy, but I think the position is the right position for the Carolina Panthers at six.
Oh, they left some nice players for my New York Football Giants. It is time for the seventh pick. My Giants are back on the clock. They took fourth. Here is Dave Rothenberg.
With the seventh pick in the 2022 KJM draft, I think it's imperative the Giants improve that offensive line, and they will. The New York Football Giants select Ikem Ekwonu, offensive tackle, North Carolina State.
Ikem Ekwonu, offensive tackle, North Carolina State.
I love Ikem Ekwonu. He gives you that great left tackle. He could be a right tackle, guard.
I think Ekwonu is one of the three best players in the draft. I think offensive tackle is a need, so there's no problem here.
I love it. Now, I said the Giants took fourth. They took fifth, of course. Trayvon Walker, you heard Chris Canty pick him fifth just moments ago. Now, Ekwonu, Jordan Reed. My Giants get Ekwonu, too. I love it.
Max, you should be jumping for joy if Ekwonu falls this far in the draft, just because I think he's one of the two best players in this draft class. They have a need at offensive tackle opposite of Andrew Thomas. They continue to address the trenches from a character, background, size, and then just skill set perspective. He's one of the cleanest draft prospects overall. He has that nastiness that you want at the position. He finishes people on the ground, and then he comes back to the next play and tries to do the exact same thing, which is what they need in New York.
Who's the other one? You said top two. Who's the other one? Top two players.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Hutchinson is one, and Ekwonu's the other one. Okay, got it. Sorry, Key.
Correct.
If you think of Max gets all giddy about the Giants. If you think about Ikem Ekwonu, one of the things that they certainly need is pass pro protection. If he's on the board sitting there, that's a steal. But here's what I would say. The Carolina Panthers, if they took Charles Cross, now you have Ekwonu dropping to number seven, which is a little bit of a drop because there's some other needs that the Giants need right there. But this is the top guy on the board. You have to take him. All 6'4", 310 pounds of him. He was a role killer for the Wolfpack of North Carolina State. I see him making a big difference if the Giants get him.
Oh, I love it. All right. Now, the Atlanta Falcons on the clock with the eighth and final pick for today. We do four picks every day. Here's former Falcons wide receiver Harry Douglas.
With the eighth pick in the 2022 KJM mock draft, the Atlanta Falcons select wide receiver from USC, Drake London.
Drake London, wide receiver, USC.
Drake London from USC is my favorite receiver. I think he is scheme-proof at 6'5", 88 catches in only eight games. He's great in the red zone. He's great at 50-50 balls. He just kind of posts guys up, almost like a little bit of a bigger Michael Thomas. If I had a young quarterback, some of these guys sometimes struggle with that pinpoint accuracy, especially in the red area where things get tight. Like, I want 6'5", I want a small forward down there so I can just throw the ball up to, and that's Drake London.
Jordan Reed, how'd he do?
He did good. And, you know, with that roster, I think along with Houston, it's probably the worst roster entering next season. I think they just need to add playmakers. That's exactly what Drake London is. He's that big go up and get it type of target, but he's just not that guy that plays above the rim. He can separate in the intermediate and then also the short areas. He gives you plenty of yards after the catch too. And this is a roster that just needs playmakers. And also with Drake London, he brings that to the forefront. Really reminds me a lot of Michael Williams when he was coming out of Clemson.
It's an interesting pick for me in Atlanta. Now, I'm all on board for somebody taking a USC Trojan, especially at the receiver position. But when I look at Kyle Pitts, a guy that they took out of Florida who gives them the red zone target, the big body presence, he can play inside, outside, he can detach from the formation. You're now pairing him up with a very similar player in Drake London. I'd like to see Atlanta go get a speed demon. Maybe this is a little high and a little rich for a guy like Chris Olave at Ohio State who can pick him up and put him down. Jameis Williamson out of Alabama, even though he's coming off an ACL, you'll get him at the end of the middle to the end of next season, which for whatever reason, it may be worth your money because if you're the Atlanta Falcons, just like Jordan said, you're not going anywhere anyway because you need so much help and to build that roster. I just think it's a little bit of the same that you already got in Kyle Pitts. But if Atlanta takes it, I'm all for it.
So, Jay, what do you think about the Giants' picks? Trayvon Walker, you got your pass rusher, and you got your offensive tackle, who apparently can also play guard, right? So what do you think?
If Ekwonu comes down to that position, Max, like as a Giants fan, I literally, the whole time you guys were doing this, I was jumping up and down. I was clapping my hands because I think that's a massive win. I mean, I don't see him dropping that far. But if it did happen that way, I would be like a giddy little kid because I think you get everything that you need.
The only other thing I'd want is for the Giants to trade up into the first and grab Linderbaum too. I want shock and awe on the offensive line. I want to have all pros everywhere you look, and I want starters backing them up. I want them deep, and I want them top-notch. That's right. And then we'll figure out quarterback later, because I don't think Daniel Jones is the future, but we'll see. That is Jordan Reed, ESPN NFL draft analyst. Jordan, thank you very much, as always.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, guys.
So, New York Giants, Chris Canty takes Trayvon Walker, defensive end out of Georgia. Carolina Panthers, Josh in South Carolina picked for them. Charles Cross, offensive tackle, Mississippi State. At 7, Giants take again that trade for the Chicago Bears. That's how the Bears wound up with Justin Fields and the Cowboys wind up with Micah Parsons, by the way. Dave Rothenberg, Ike Ekwonu was there. He took him out of NC State. And Harry Douglas, our very own, drafted for the Atlanta Falcons, Drake London, SC wideout, considered the best wideout in the draft, although as Key says, they have Pitts already. Maybe a speed guy would be better there. Day 3 of our mock draft is tomorrow at this time. Don't miss it. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. In a second, Jay's going to tell you whether or not Trae Young is a superstar and why he's got real concerns about the Heat.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Trae Young got bullied last night. I know he had 25 points on 20 shots, but they sped him up. They played so fast. I don't have Trae Young as a superstar. I don't. And it's not a knock. I think there are levels to this, and I'm going to break down what the levels to superstardom in the NBA actually are, Max. That's what we're doing.
Trae Young does not qualify.
No, he does not.
Yeah.
Ooh, part two.
Am I going to get in trouble?
Best songs I've ever heard.
Am I going to get in trouble for saying that Trae Young is not a superstar? What world are we living in? We just had Pat Costello's mom on this show. Linda Costello, she's a teacher of teachers, Max, for you. She's a teacher's teacher. And she was able to name five players who transcend basketball today as a casual fan.
Jay's got you stuck off the realness.
So just try to tell him, Max.
That's right.
Try to tell him.
Why isn't is that enough? Is that alone disqualifying that a casual doesn't know their name?
Well, casual needs to know who you are. Like, you have to pop. First off, let me say this about the game last night, because I have to say it. And Miami Heat fans have been coming at me, and I still stand by my note that I do not think you can win an NBA championship with Jimmy Butler as your number one option. So hear me when I say this, Miami Heat fans. The fact that Jimmy Butler had to get 45 points last night for you guys to beat Atlanta at home by 10 only lets me know that I don't think Miami has what it takes to win the Eastern Conference.
Preach.
It only lets me know, right? Jimmy Butler, incredible performance. I love Jimmy Butler, one of the best two-way players in the game. But it took him 45 for you guys to hold off Atlanta, and Atlanta got in through the play-in. Like, if that doesn't speak about where this team is, like, does that mean that they have enough to compete with the Celtics, enough to compete with the Milwaukee Bucks, the 76ers? Like, I just realistically don't see it with Jimmy Butler as your number one guy. And I love their culture. Best culture in basketball. I just think they're missing one pivotal piece, like that superstar that can take them to a next level. That's all.
Yeah, it's a by committee, and your best player by default is probably Jimmy Butler. Key, do you think Miami, given the defense, Spoelstra's coaching, it's a Pat Riley organization, if everyone contributes and Jimmy Butler has some games like this, you don't think they could do it?
I don't think they can win an NBA championship. I think they can push. They can push everybody else that's in the East. Spoelstra's a pretty good coach, schematic wise, and the things that they can do from a schematic standpoint. I think that's a plus. Pat Riley's not coaching. He certainly may give some input. He's involved in the organization, running the organization, but Spoelstra is the one that's on the bench. And we've seen the Miami Heat play tough at times down the stretch, not only on defense, but if you remember, Tyler Hero grew in front of us in the bubble. It was the bubble, but everybody was in the bubble. So it just goes to show you that a coach makes a world of a difference if they know what they're doing from an X and O standpoint. I'm not going to completely discount them and count them out, but I'm not going to count them in either.
Go
ahead.
No. Sorry, Jay.
No. I was going to say, I love the Miami Heat. I love their culture. Like, look, Nick Arison and I have an incredible relationship. I respect the hell out of what him and Mickey Arison and the culture that they built with Pat Riley. And they play hard each and every possession. And I do think that Jimmy has found a culture that really matches his own style. It just still feels like this team is missing something when you watch them play. Like, they don't have that guy that you know you need a critical bucket against a top-tier defense, not an Atlanta defense, a top-tier defense like a Milwaukee. Like, I'm not sure they have an answer for that.
Look at the way Pat Riley's done it since he got a little piece of the team and became the coach at the time and then the GM, the president, all that stuff. First, it was Tim Hardaway and Alonzo Mourning, right? Big and a little back then. That was a point guard in the center. That was the formula that Pat Riley knew from Magic and Kareem. And then whoever he could find, whoever it was there, Ron Harper, Doc Rivers, and Patrick Ewing, right? He got the best point guard and best center he could get his hands on, put them together, and they were great, but not good enough to win a title. Then later on, he gets Dwayne Wade and Shaq. Okay, now he's got the formula again, but Dwayne Wade is souped up to Tim Hardaway, and Shaq souped up to Alonzo Mourning. Now he wins a title. Then he gets LeBron later with Wade and Bosh, right? He's got super-duper star in LeBron and another huge star in Wade and an finals MVP. This team is not that. This Pat Riley team is more like the Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway team, right? Where, yeah, excellent, but you need a best player who's a little better than that. I want to get to Trae Young for a second, Jay. Do you think he's capable? I think he is. At home of, having one of those 45-point nights where you steal one so you take the gentleman sweep instead of the sweep. AI did it in the finals against the Lakers. Kobe did it in the finals against the Pistons, just to let them know you're there. Is he capable of that?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's a prolific scorer. If you actually look at the last two games, though, what they've been doing, they've been extremely physical with him. Last night watching the game, he just played super fast, right? This is a game of tempo. And typically, Trae Young is in control of the tempo, the pace in which he plays. And last night, they had him playing at 130 miles per hour, which is the reason in these two playoff games, he has more turnovers than assists. He's shooting 12% from the three-point line. He's shooting 34% from the field. So because they're speeding him up and they're being physical. And that's, credit the Miami Heat and their culture, Key. Like, there's some dudes who just dogs each and every possession. That's how they beat you.
Yeah, and look, Trae Young burst onto the scene to a degree before our eyes because it's New York. He beat the Knicks, MSG. Ah, everybody's Trae Young. You put him ahead, put him in front of everybody else. He started to look like a mini Steph Curry to us because of the ability to shoot the ball deep, do all of those sort of things. It almost became a challenge a year ago. I could do it better than you. I think you can still a game. I think he is a really, really good player. But I don't believe that you can win a championship with a guy that's that size as your most dominant player. I just don't see it. I've never seen it. Steph Curry had a little bit of help. Plus, he's a little bit bigger than
he's 16 he's a lot, and a half.
Yeah, he's 64, a lot bigger. Yeah. He's a lot bigger than
Trae Young.
Trae Young. So when you start to look at it on the surface, you say to yourself, he's a really good player, but unless he gets a number one alpha dog outside of him,
yeah,
he's just going to be a playoff type guy.
It's so interesting to me. These guys write their own scripts. Like, you think you know the way the world works. Steph Curry can't win a championship. He's 6'3". He shoots from where? He's not a good defense. He's not going to. But Bob Myers, like, that whole organization's like, we're drafting this guy. We're going to build a championship around this guy, right? And it worked. And then all of a sudden, the world changed. We were living in the modern NBA or postmodern NBA where Steph Curry reinvents the game in a way or pushes it forward. These guys write their own scripts. Can Jimmy Butler be the best player in an NBA? Nah, we don't think. Oh, wait a minute. Like, let me ask you something, Jay. Would Dwayne Wade qualify back in the day as a superstar?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
He had to write that script himself. He had to go out at 6'4", right? And paired with Shaq, it's true, but he had to be the best player on a championship team. He had to have the greatest finals performance post-MJ, right? Averaging all those points and winning the game again. And he had to go out and do it. The script's not written. You got to write it. Is Trae Young in? I didn't think Steph Curry would when he was young, right? He's not going to change the game. He did. Is Trae Young good enough, do you think, to surprise you? Could he possibly – do you see something there where you're like, I'm not expecting it, but maybe?
Is he getting another Shaq?
I think they're missing. I mean, look, it's also about the moves that the front office makes around you, though. You know what I mean, Key? So
yeah,
Bob
so
Myers,
what I'm saying, is he getting?
If you get somebody that
some
is
guys?
Another level above where Bogdanovich is, right? When Bogey starts playing, they actually play a lot better as a team.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, could Hunter be that player that goes next level for them or bring somebody else in? Because they did just get to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I want to remind people.
Yeah,
they got all the way to the finals last year.
They got to the finals last year with a banged up Brooklyn team that, you know, the banged up Brooklyn team that didn't really, I mean, Kevin Durant was there, but so you got past that. A Boston team that was playing like they forgot how to play basketball.
I mean, they beat Philly.
Yeah, but Philadelphia was still, I mean, think about it. Ben Simmons, all that whole, it was like a whole deal going on in Philadelphia. I look at it and say to myself, until they get another all-star USA basketball gold medalist, Hall of Fame type player, Trey Young ain't going to be able to
one
do it.
One thing I'll say,
guys, yeah, he can't do it
one
by
thing
himself.
I'll say
he
is,
ain't going to be able to do it.
The next guy doesn't always look like the last guy. What I mean by that is, who would have thunk it, like Draymond Green? Who would have thought, like, a guy who kind of plays a little bit like Anthony Mason, like he's going to be the key to the thing that makes this thing go to the next level with Steph, right? And then Clay also turn into the best version of what he could have been. Like, it's hard to say exactly what Trae Young needs or the kind of player who might come in and help.
Well, you
can
just
Atlanta
said
find them? Who knows what
you
that guy looks like?
But you just said it when you described the two dudes that's in Golden State.
Yeah, but they but
you
that
just
didn't
describe what he needs.
But what I'm saying is we know that now. But back then, small ball with a guy who's 6'6" playing center didn't exist, right? They invented it. Maybe Atlanta can come up with something that complements Trae Young in a way we're not anticipating. Because I'll tell you one thing. I know he's derivative of Steph. The dude ain't scared. And he's gone farther than I thought he would go already. I'm just saying he's still very young. So
look, first off, no one player is doing it by themselves. Like that's what made LeBron. I mean, LeBron was the closest thing we've ever had to that,
mm-hmm.
right? When he was with the Cavs. So let's say that first and foremost. Number two, like they also did have a lot of injuries this year. Talk about Jonathan Collins only played 54 games. You talk about, you know, Lou Will has been hurt. You know, DeAndre Hunter has played 53 games. So they dealt with injuries as well. I like the core of their team, though. Real talk, man. I like what the future looks like for Atlanta because they have assets in which they can get big-time players there, or it could be due to their farming system, they get the best player and it continues to build.
You like Nate McMillan?
I do.
Okay.
I like him thus far, yes.
Key and Jay got a beef, not with each other. Wait till you hear the challenge they may be up against.
G-Shawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max.
I know Perk weighs 300 plus pounds. I ain't trying to see Perk. I don't want that.
No, let's get realistic.
I don't, like, I'm not stupid.
No, man, we're not dumb.
Right, listen
dude,
to this.
8 feet tall.
The two of them combined weigh 630 pounds.
And on top of that, they're violent.
This ain't NBA. This is real street.
It's real street basketball.
Like, I'm talking about hard fouling, elbows.
You hear that violence in his voice? Streets, elbow. Why would I mess with the moneymaker, man? Why would I mess up his face?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. I don't know. Kendrick Perkins and Marcus Spears.
What a day for some Bob Marley. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. One love, huh?
One love, Max.
One love, man.
All day to you, my
More
brother.
More like, it ain't all bad, but it ain't all good, homie.
Exactly, Max.
Kendrick Perkins exactly. And Marcus Spears. Look, swag. Look, this is how this all started, okay? Bart and Hahn, you want to check them out, by the way, noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Alan Hahn and Bart Scott were talking about playing two-on-two pickup, right? In a half court, obviously, and they're talking about what, you know, tandems at ESPN could they, you know, would they face and could they beat them all? And they were like, yeah, we'll beat everybody, da-da. And when they get to Key and Jay, they start talking about it. It's like, hold on, Key and Jay are like, oh, timeout. Jay will, Key can play. And then Jay will, everyone calm down. So, you know, they went back at Bart and Hahn, but then we're thinking about all the different pairings, and that would include Kendrick Perkins and Marcus Spears. Swagoo and Perk from the Swagoo and Perk podcast. So this is their response to the thought of playing Key and Jay 2-on-2. Listen.
Bro, what are they talking about? They both too small. Look, I'm past that stage where I'm done playing games or trying to show somebody what I can do.
Nope.
Or show somebody that got doubts that I can handle the ball. I'm keeping it simple, and I'm getting the game over with. And
yeah, layups.
Whoever Jay will go ahead and you're going to the block.
And ain't nothing going to happen.
Ain't nothing going to happen.
The layups.
Yeah, but layups.
So, Key, my big OG, Key Sean, talking about, I ain't worried about Spears. It ain't no, they, I said, 1-on-1 to 15, you get the ball first, wherever you want to play. Perk. They always think that I'm just going to turn my back to the basket and post people up. That's what I want them to think. I want them to think that.
Well, there you have it.
Nobody, look, first of all, I'm not worried about Marcus. Marcus is good athlete. But look, man, I would love for him to face me up and think he going to go by me. He may run me over, and I may fall. He might step on my shoe, Jay, or something like that. But as far as just thinking he get ready to fake, come on, man, stop. I get it. You ain't going to never be able to jump higher than me. So that in itself is a wrap for Marcus. And as far as Perk go, you think I'm a damn fool? I just look like this. Dude won NBA titles, man. Dude as big as a bear. What the hell do I think
the five.
I'm getting ready? Nah, please, man.
You know what, Max? Key, I've had some time to sit on this and think about it. There ain't no way in hell Big Perk and Marcus Spears would beat us, Key.
I didn't say that. I'm because, not going to play them to give them a chance to.
They if we shot for ball, number one, we going to get ball.
And we're going to get there. We're going
to
beat.
They're going to get a chance to get an offense, Max.
But the problem is this.
You know why, Max? I'm gonna draw up a computer diagrammed play where Key and I are gonna run around for 5 minutes
before
we take the first shot. We're gonna break them down endurance wise, and then we're gonna score easily from the outside.
Yeah, we're gonna always get the ricochet off the rim.
We're gonna get the long rebound.
They're gonna never be able to get there.
You're facing an NBA champion center, and then Marcus Spears is the second guy. You can't miss a single shot. You can't miss a single shot, guys.
I'm out here shooting 24 for 25.
It depends on where the ball bounces at, though. As wide as Perk is, the ball might not bounce.
I'm not going to let you talk yourselves into this one, guys.
I'm not stupid, Max.
Yeah.
I can't get around this dude.
Right. No, I'm going to be stupid.
I know that.
Tell them to bring their ass on the court, too. Perk can get some of this smoke.
And I like my face. So the fact that Perk is a very aggressive center, my face is too pretty to go through battle.
I'm gonna have Perk sweating out there. I'm gonna have him sweating so hard.
Imagine.
Ooh, I hope it's a hot day too. Oh Lord,
here's the problem, Key. Like if Jay keeps talking like this, I'm gonna have to get his back, man. I'm gonna have to be like, yeah, Jay. Come on, Jay. There's no other choice, Max.
I got Jay back. I'm gonna do it, but I don't want to get hurt.
I'm running up the chimney. I want all the smoke, Perk. You hear that, Swagoo? I'm running up
the
chimney.
600 pounds of Santa Claus coming right back down on the chimney, right on your head.
No, you light.
Get out of the way.
You light, man. You light. That's about 750.
And I'm going to take Perk. I'm going to take Swagoo out the night before.
Yeah.
I'm going to have him a good time. I'm going to have him tired, hungover. I'm going to do it right for him. Look at the size
of these dudes. You think you're going to have them tired if you go out drinking with them? Guess what's going to happen?
Max, first off, I know the size of them. I play with dudes. In the NBA.
No, I'm saying if you go out and you try to, you know, like you know, get them drinks and stuff. Those dudes, look at just do the math, man. You're going to feel it worse on, the Max. Next day than them.
No, Max, that's why I know you give them. I have water. I give them vodka. You know, hey, come on, man. Hey, you know, this is a veteran like game, man. Right. Hey, you're trying to play games. I'm trying to win championships.
I think in this case you got the Barton Hahn championship wrapped up. Let's not push our luck here.
I know that's what happens. You know, you get those. What are they called? Beer muscles? You know what I mean? That's what's happening.
Yeah, liquid courage.
Too hyped up on caffeine. I've had too many cups of coffee.
You got liquid courage in the form of caffeine. Yeah, Key, I think I'm with you, man. Just leave them two alone. Take anybody else. Leave those two alone. Hey.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Man, I can't do it, nah. Max.
Was Key's suit that he wore when he was drafted, was that the greatest suit ever or the worst suit ever? Because there's a difference of opinion. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, back in 1 minute.
Keyshawn.
Why would I mess up this face?
J. Will.
What up, baby?
And Max.
We could just talk about pizza if you want.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
So you guys are in Chicago. I have a lot of boxing stuff to tape tomorrow. You guys went to Chicago. You traveled yesterday after the show, huh?
Yes, sir. I got on the plane yesterday after the show, went through the airport. First of all, I had to drive around LAX 5 times because of all the construction to find a parking space. And then I finally found the valet, so he was able to do it. Then I walked over the terminal, Jay, get something to eat. We tried to get to the furthest corner where nobody was at. A couple came and sat right by me. And asked the question that everyone would ask. What would you think that would be, Jay? As they sit next to me, they would ask the question.
Are you vaccinated?
Or are you Keyshawn Johnson? Yeah, that's what I thought. So now I got to hurry up and eat my food to get up because they literally are sitting in my lap. Then I get on the plane.
Why come you to put the mask on?
I was eating.
Well, yeah.
So I wasn't worried about that, and I get on the plane. Now I don't have my mask on. Now I got to get on a call with Pat and everybody. You're flying to Chicago. I'm getting ready to fly to Chicago, but you're already on the plane. I got to talk to Pat and him. It's 12:30. It's time to get on the conference call to get the show rolling. And as I'm talking, everybody's passing me by, and there's a lady that's sitting that comes through the aisle. She literally stops at the edge of my seat and stands there for 30 seconds looking at me because I didn't have a mask on. She had a mask on all the way up to her eyeballs, you know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, why are you staring at me like, okay, yes? And she's like, with attitude, like making the signals with her mask in her hand, let me know I need to have a mask on. So right then and there, I'm like, okay, I see. And so I whispered to Pat and him. I said, Pat, these people here are sitting on, because I didn't want her to hear me. It was crazy. Had an issue with me because I wasn't wearing a mask.
Yeah, that's going to, yeah. We're still in a weird place. It felt like yesterday.
Don't get on the plane and leave your mask on.
Yeah, I was fine. I'm fine with whatever you want to do. You don't want to wear a mask. You want to wear a mask. You want to wear a protective shield. You want to go in a hazmat suit. Whatever you want to do, do you. I got nothing to say to nobody. I'm just trying to do my own business. But look, Key, if I'm on a cell phone and I'm at the Delta Lounge, don't shush me. This woman came over to me and said, shh.
Why? Were you being loud? I'm on the phone.
No, I was talking the way I'm talking like this, Max, to you.
Wait, you were doing a radio hit, though, right?
I was doing a radio hit with Alan and Bart on their show about us having our 2-on-2 game. And I'm like, people just mind your own business. That's all. M-O-B.
Stop yelling at everyone's ear and getting everyone sick, and they'll mind their own business, you two. All right, listen. Key and Jay's travel struggles here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. We have Choose Your Own Adventure coming right up, guys. What are we talking about? CP3's bad luck? Key's bad suit? Oh, no, it's a good suit. Is Trae Young a superstar? What are we going to be talking about? 10 seconds.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Key has that style. He has that freshness. That's all.
Sports Illustrated. Key, they have a whole article about your draft suit and how it was ahead of its time.
I'm like 180 pounds, and I got like a 5X. So I
had my entire family outfitted.
Were they all in the suit with you, or they were in different suits? Because that's a big suit. You could fit a lot of people
that's
in that.
About, hey, Max, that's about right. Did you see Jay's draft suit?
Oh, yeah.
Jay's waist was the size of his daughter's. The rest of the pants were huge. The jacket was all the way down to his knees, and he didn't even have it made like that.
It was
that.
A tuxedo, baby. That's it was time to party.
It was unbelievable.
Man, it's so true how style has changed. Like, I remember the first time, guys, I went out and got a normal-fitting pair of jeans as an adult, and I couldn't even, like, I put them on in the store. I was like, I can't wear these, man. This looks ridiculous. But they look normal, but I was so used to wearing, you know, baggy clothes. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, what are we going to talk about in this extra content here? Sorry, in this last segment here, Choose Your Own Adventure. KJM versus Swagoo and Perk. Really, just KJ versus Swagoo and Perk. 18% of you want us to talk about Keyshawn and Jay taking on Swagoo and Perk 2-on-2 basketball. 23% of you want us to talk about is whether or not Trae Young is a superstar. You hit us up at Key J and Max. You produced the last segment of the show. 29%. Talking about CP3's bad luck. Key talks about how some people, you look at him, he goes, nothing good ever happens for that guy. And that feels like CP3, just snake bit. But 30%, 1% more, want to talk, Key, about your draft day suit. So that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, well, I don't understand what was wrong with my draft day suit. In 1996, I had the satin silk, pinstripe, tan with brown.
It was
stripes
silk?
In it. Yeah, it was satin silk.
Damn.
It was cold blooded. Yeah. It was cold blooded.
That's some pimp like stuff out there on draft.
Very pimpish. Jay, very pimpish. I had the gator belt on with the gator shoes, brown.
Oh, my Lord.
With the diamond stud in my ear, with the Roly iced all the way. You couldn't, the thing was so iced, if I'd have dropped it in water, it froze. That's just, it was so crazy. And, you know, you're the number one overall pick. You talking that trash. At a time in 1996 when nobody had tailors as athletes. You read the Sports Illustrated article that's out. I had my own tailor who traveled to the draft with me and outfitted the crew and everything.
Wait, dudes didn't have tailors back in the MJ. Oh. MJ had tailors.
MJ was at a different level.
But coming into the league.
I'm talking about coming into the league.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, MJ, yeah. Of course. Come
young
on.
Pups, young pups.
I'm talking about young pups that was ready to burn up their money.
Yeah.
They didn't have it.
Well, you just allocated the payment you had beforehand towards the tailor. That's how you did it.
Well, no, I just, it was you know,
was
they
that
gave
SC
it to me
money or
up.
Was that NFL money you spent on
no,
the tailor?
No. We wasn't. No, but everybody didn't understand the suit because it was such eye popping compared to other draftees prior to me. They didn't look like I looked. They didn't have they didn't have a smile, okay, and the good looks. That's number one. And then on top of that, they wasn't clean. It just was a whole nother look.
You see, Max, Key is so different because Key already grew up in L.A. in that Hollywood life. He had that. So for 99% of everybody else that gets drafted, they coming into Hollywood. You're like, oh, man, how does stuff really work around here? Key already came in with the blueprint laid out.
Mm-hmm. No question.
Like, it's different. That's different.
No,
you know what
question.
I mean?
And so people, Max, looked at it, and they was like, damn, he was fresh, you know, like fly. Like you could just, it was a statement where the newspapers in New York, the writers in New York was going crazy. You're talking about back page, front page, not only about me as a, as being drafted, but what I was wearing. They wrote stories, articles on what I was wearing.
A lot of it today is if you go back to any period of time, the 1950s, 1970s, you got like the collars and the bell bottoms. It looks funny to people now, but at the time it was right. I if you saw a picture of me from 1983, I had the La Tigra, the exact same color as the Lees with the crease down the middle, and you know the Adidas with the shell tops with the fat laces. Like, you know, but at the time,
yeah, if you wore that, if you wore that today, you're going to look like you got, if you wore that today, it's going to look like you got dressed in the dark.
Right. But back then I felt fresh. And Key, to my eyes, when I see it back then, I'm like, that was fresh.
Man, that's fresh. Man, all you got to do is scroll through the pictures from the 90s, 96, 97, 98. Like, look at that 3-4 year period of time and look at the suits. I was looking through some stuff. Tim Thomas suit. When he got drafted in the NBA back in 1997, the seventh pick in the NBA draft. Look at that damn suit he got on. Man, that
10X.
Suit. Man, that thing about 10X. And then you look at Jason Kidd when he got drafted in 94, the tie he was wearing. What the hell was Jason Kidd thinking? I could just go through stuff in these articles and look at some of the stuff that some of these guys wore. Jay Will, when he got drafted.
Look,
I told you,
Drew Gooden. What was Drew Gooden wearing?
Just because other people had bad suits doesn't mean that yours is automatically better. It's just you also had a bad suit along with all of these other bad suits.
No, that is not true, Pat. That's not true. My suit went into my suit was silk. Not only that, at the height, the All-Star Cafe was popping in New York back in the 90s. They took my suit on display in the All-Star Cafe. I had the gold. First of all, I was double-breasted. It was a 3/4 length down to my kneecaps.
Is also a cafe? Did they go out of business?
Well, that maybe because of the suit.
But you talk about Michael Jordan earlier. If you look at the suits Jordan wore, which at the time I was like, oh my God, he's the best dressed man in the world.
So,
but what I'm saying is back then I was like, Jordan's the best dressed guy in the world, but they were three times too big on him.
It's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same thing. I had Max. Versace was ridiculous. Right. I had the gold Versace lion head buttons on it. Oh, man, it was gold. Think about it. A cream suit with brown pinstripes
with gold buttons. How much it cost?
How much I didn't pay for the suit.
So who made the suit? Wait, who made the suit then?
Ron Finley from Drop Dead. He used to outfit, at the time, he was dressing GP, Robert Ory, the Diesel. It was a bunch of guys. He was dressing a whole bunch of dudes. But that suit was like, if I was to pay for it, I think it was about 5 or 6 G's.
Back then. Yeah. 5 or 6 G's back then, 30 years ago, whatever it was.
It wasn't no Tom Ford. Who?
Exactly.
Yeah, that was. But now everybody's skinnying up, looking like if they move the wrong way, it's going to rip.
Key, let's be honest. Like nowadays, and by the way, I bought not the skinny jeans, but like the tighter jeans and everything. It was so much more comfortable back then. Oh, it was so much more comfortable to get dressed back then. You could move around.
Yeah, it looks so big, though.
Yeah,
oh, God.
It looks so big.
Man,
I can put my hand in my pocket.
I feel like we need to come to a happy medium, though, right? We got to start wearing, like, I wish it would move in that direction where at least the clothes were comfortable. They could fit and be comfortable.
No, they're not anymore. Max, you're not uncomfortable when you wear them.
If you buy a pair of jeans that look normal nowadays, they're too tight.
They're going to laugh at you?
They're too tight. Like
well,
the
they
jeans
have to be
are
somewhat
tight.
Fitted, but they just can't be. You know, it can't be snugged up on you.
I'm just saying, if it's snugged up on you,
it's too much.
It was so much. You get a pair of Jabos back in the day. Oh, there was room. Everything was good.
Yeah,
it's like wearing sweatpants.
It's the fashion. It's the fashion trend, and it'll be interesting to see what a lot of guys wear next Thursday night when they're in Las Vegas at the draft. And
see,
a lot of people
hot outside.
Yeah, it's like, gonna be hot.
How do you factor that into it? Right,
we gotta do that. We gotta do our draft wardrobe.
You know, I'm working the draft in Vegas for NFL Live and First Take and our show, obviously. And I've already laid out my gear, what I'm going to have on.
What are you going to have on?
I'm not going to be out there burning up. No, I got to be light, man. It got to be something light.
I'm saying light.
Casual. Linen? Yeah, linen? I'm not going to be out there burning up. Yeah, I'm going to have some linen texture.
No, run it back with the silk.
No, man. Who makes a suit out of silk nowadays?
When you said silk, I said, what?
You know
silk?
How heavy that suit was?
That's always, I was
the damn lapels was touching my shoulder blades. They were so wide. The lapels was way over here.
It looked like Russell Westbrook.
It looked like if I dove out of a plane, I could fly. It was wings on them.
Come on, man. There's always stupid stuff. Jay, you remember, I was fresh. On the East Coast, Key. I mean, and Jay, this is, I'm sure you were in this era too. You're a little younger than us, but not like about like 8-10 years. But summertime, you'd have jean shorts on with Tim's. It's blazing hot in the summer. Why were we wearing construction boots in the summer? What were we thinking about?
Feet all hot, sweaty.
People in New York still walking around like that.
People still wearing Tim's.
No, they got up to Uptowns, the Air Force Ones, you know, the white on white low top. But there was a time when the Tim's got dirty though, Max.
Ooh, yeah. I used to be mad.
Oh yeah,
I'd be big mad.
How many suits did you have that had 10 buttons on them in the front though? I'm looking at Carmelo's suit. He had like 10 buttons. I wouldn't dare put on a suit with 10 buttons.
And you know what?
I can go over some people's house to this day, and they uncles and stuff still dress like that.
Greeny coming up right now. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.